Good morning. It's good to see everybody. It was a blessing to see all those young people last week and this week. Amen. 2 weeks in a row to get to see them, and had some folks visit with us from, I preach over and trailer park here in town up behind Sonny's at 9 o'clock in the morning over there for them. And they were telling, some of them came, they canceled their service, so they came over here, several of them, for our children's program, and they were just talking about, and one of the statements that they made, and it was a blessing to my heart, was that they called home and talked to their pastor that they're with most of the year and said, this is that is the most witnessing church that I've ever been in my life. And again, just a blessing talking about our young people, and they were just talking about how the kids were singing out for the Lord and just proud to do so. And so I was blessed just with their testimony. Take your Bibles this morning, go to Philippians chapter number 4. We have been studying people who were around the Christmas story. And this week I decided I wanted to kind of do something for New Year's, and probably going to be a little bit preachy today. And so I stayed in the pulpit because, as Pastor Carter said, a lot of times we go to the floor to be more teachy. And so when we're in the pulpit, sometimes we're get a little bit more preaching. And so it might be a little bit more preach this morning than teach. But I hope you'll be able to pick up both of those things, and I'll try to keep it in between there. Philippians chapter number 3, my life verse comes out of this section of the Bible. And many of you may not know this about me, but again, or maybe you would say this about yourself, I think, through most of our lives, I had one of the students. I don't know if I said this in the pulpit. Sometimes I forget where I said what, but that's okay. I want to hear it again. So anyway, as Pastor Carter says, right? And so you would, if you remember, we just had, not too long ago, we had a fifth Sunday, and we had a couple young men preach. And so one of the things that preachers in the past, never had anybody do this for me, but preachers around our, you get a popular preacher. And when I was a boy, it was a popular thing to get them to sign their name, and they would put their life verse in your Bible. And so after the young men got done preaching, I went up to one of them, and I was trying to get with both of them, and one of them was a senior, and I knew we didn't have a whole lot of time left with him. I said, you did a great job. Told both of them they did a great job. I took one of them and I said, hey, I want you to sign my Bible. It was a great message. I want you to sign my Bible so I can remember that message. And so he signed his name in the front of my Bible, and I could tell it was exciting for him that somebody was asking him to sign the Bible, and he didn't put a life verse down. And I said, what's your life verse? You need to put that down when you sign your name in somebody's Bible like that. And he said, I don't have one, preacher. And I said, man, you need to get one. You know. And so he said, well, what's yours? I said, you can't have mine. You got to have one of your own, you know. And so, and then I got thinking, you know, again, looking back in my life, I remember when I started preaching, I took my pastor's life verse. And then, you know, as I grew and I was able to get my own, you know, I went and got my own, you know. And I think this is probably my third, what I would call, life verse, as my life has changed through the years. Many of you realize that, but when I began to serve the Lord full time, I chose this as my life verse. And again, as we look here today, I want to kind of speak on the topic of balancing the books. As we look into a brand new year, and when we close out a year and we're getting ready to go into a new year, a lot of times we have to stop and balance the books and be able to look back at what we did last year, amen, and then look forward to a brand new year. But you got to kind of reconcile everything before you start a brand new year. And so I want to speak on that topic, balancing the books. In Philippians chapter number 3, my life verse is verse 12, and we'll get to it. But I want to kind of start by telling you, just showing you some things. The Apostle Paul is writing to them, and like any good preacher, you do realize this has four chapters, right? Look at verse number 1 of chapter 3. Finally, my brethren. Okay, he wasn't done yet, was he? He had turned off the main blacktop, but the driveway to the house was pretty long, all right? And so he says, finally, brethren, doesn't mean he was done yet. It just means he started heading for home. And so as he's closing the book to this church at Philippi, who he loves and has invested much time, and again, I won't go through all the details of his investment in them, but he's going to begin to balance his books. He's going to end up at I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. He's going to end up in chapter 4 by saying, therefore. So he's saying, finally, here's all these things, and then therefore do these things. Make sure you add these things to your life. But for each one of us, you know, this week, and we're going to give a report tonight. I want you to come out tonight, and I'll say more about that. But it's watch night service, and we reconcile our books as a church. We don't just do that financially. We go back and look at how many souls were won. We spend more time doing that than we do on just the money side of it, because this thing that we do here at church is not about money. Now, it takes money to keep the lights on. Okay, and we have to balance the books, or else the state will come and put me in jail. All right, we have to balance all those things, and we have to do it everything decently and in order. But the ministry is about the people that walked across the platform and got a Bible today. The ministry is about the people sitting in the pews this morning, the people that are outside these doors that we will witness to during this week and the coming year. It's about having an open door to the community and saying, hey, come in. There's a place for you here where you're welcome. We want you to come and sit in the building and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Every day is what it was about last year. And guess what it's going to be about next year? The same thing. It's going to be about Christ. And so for us, reconciling some things helps us come to a place we look and we see things that were gained and things that were lost, and we reconcile them, and then we move forward. And so for us this year, I want you to see in verse number really one, I want you to just look how he begins this. And he doesn't take a lot of time. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice. He's rejoicing in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. So I want you to understand that in a brand new year, what's the preacher going to do? I'm going to preach the same thing, because it's safe for you and it's safe for me. I'm going to preach the same book we've been preaching for all the years that Pastor Carter was here, all the years by the pastors that were before him, and everybody here. We're going to preach the same book, and we're going to preach the same gospel message because it's safe. You don't want to know, most people, they don't have peace because they don't feel safe. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but if I was worried about somebody kicking the door in, I'd put a lock on it. And if I thought they could kick the first lock down, I'd put a second lock on. And then I might, you know, I was in a home of one folks in our church, and they wanted to feel safe. And so now they had locks top, bottom, and then they had a 2x4 stuffed under the door handle and screwed to the floor. You say, why? Because they wanted to feel safe. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know, you may be a heavy-footed man, and you can kick a door down, all right? But you prop a good 2x4 against her like that, and you may break your leg trying to put that one down. You may bounce off of her pretty hard. You say, preacher, you're just getting, yeah, but here he says, I'm going to write the same thing. I'm going to say the same thing. We're going to invest. Why? Because we need to be reminded. Even when we look back and we balance the books, it's reflection on what we did last year. What we did right, it reflects on things maybe we did wrong, and it corrects us and helps us do into a brand new year. Hey, I'm not going to make that mistake again. And man, every time I've done this, this went well for me. I'm going to do that again and again and again. And for us, he goes on. Then he begins. He doesn't take long. This is not a short or long book, but it's not short either. But he begins, as he begins to remind them of things. Listen, I don't know about you. I have this sign at my house. Look at verse 2, beware of dogs. Okay, I got that at my house. Now, I don't have chapter and verse under it. You know how some of you in the house, my wife's got all these things, little quotes from the Bible, little chapter and verse. I'm going to start making beware of dog signs, chapter and verse on it. Maybe it'll catch on and people put them out in their yard, you know, things like that. But why do you put that up there? Because the dog will bite. And there's things in this life that we put on. And here, even in the scripture, you may not always think about that when you see beware of dog sign, but you ought to think, that's Bible, bless God. You know what I remind the college students of every time we go on a soul winning marathon? That the Bible says to beware of dogs. Don't pet them. You know what college students will do when they go out on soul winning? A dog that someone keeps on a chain that is going woo, woo, and barking at them. They'll walk up and say, hello, Fido. And they will walk up and pet him. And then they, when they draw their hand back with teeth marks in it, they wonder, why did that happen? Because the sign said, beware of dogs. It will bite you. You know, there's so many things in this life that'll bite us, especially as Christians. And the scripture has more to say than just beware of dogs. It even goes on here, beware of evil workers. Do you know there are people that are around us that if we're not careful, they don't build us up, they tear us down. And you, reflecting on your life, can look at some of those people and they're not a good influence on me, they're a bad influence on me. And sometimes we will not, instead of changing for the better and doing what we know we ought to grow in Christ, we'll hang on to people that are dragging us down because they're my friends. They're my this, they're my that. Doesn't mean you have to abandon them, but you have to beware them. It means you can't take their counsel. It means sometimes you ought not hang out with them. Do you know one of the things that people that go to prison, do you know one of the things they try to help them with? Is don't go back to your same old friends. Don't go back to the same old, things that you used to do. And for us, we may not always look at it that way, but when we were turned, we were freed from sin, death and hell, when we got saved, he freed us from some things, and we got to be careful about who we associate ourselves with that aren't trying to live for Jesus Christ. And it doesn't mean that we're better than them. It doesn't mean that we shun them or that we take pride that now we're saved. It just means I've got to protect myself. I've got to, just like I'm not going to go up and pet dogs, I ain't petting some of the friends I used to have. Because they bite. And when we look at the scripture, he says, beware of the concision. And he's just going to go in the next couple verses and talking about that concision is talking about one is evil workers, and now the other is a religious crowd that's going to teach you wrong things. Do you know there are people, even in this building today, that you surf the internet in waters that you should never surf? You listen to people and read books from people that are going to teach you things that you should not be taught, that are wrong according to the scripture and do not balance themselves out. We think everyone who is in the faith or saved is going to always steer us right. But the Bible tells us to beware of the concision. That means anybody that's going to teach you anything about work salvation, really that's what this is about. Something that I can do in the flesh that's spiritual, okay, that is going to help me with salvation or gain me salvation. By the way, one of the things I think is detrimental to us in our day and age, and especially with what's going on in Israel, we ought to be focused in on the fact that replacement theology is a doctrine that hurts, and it's so widespread. It leads to, again, if you connect all the dots, you replace Israel, and it gets people complacent, and you turn into Calvinist. Because you think God is just replacing Israel and then we can sit on our hands and suck on our thumb and wait for Jesus to do all the work or to bring them in the back door of the church. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The person that sat down and God used to pen down the letters, the only time he took time, a lot of times, to sit down and pen a letter was when he was penned up for the faith. Otherwise, he was out witnessing and preaching and sharing the gospel with other people. And sometimes God, for our sake, jailed Paul so he would sit down and write letters that we still have today. And even though he'll say throughout the scripture that this isn't good for me, but it's good for you. It's for your good and for God's glory that I'm pinned up in this place because I'm sitting here writing letters. God's using me in this place to continue on. And even for his sake, he talked about sometimes he was jailed and chained to two men. Listen, I'm telling you, you're talking about a hostage situation. They thought they had a hostage, and he's witnessing to both of them, and they couldn't get away. You know, sometimes we're in places like that, and we feel like we're the prisoner, but really, we got prisoners all around us. You know, some of the greatest soul winning goes on when you're in the hospital and the nurse has to take your pulse. You hold on. I got something I need to tell you. I can't go no place until I share this with you. And you know, folks, you say, well, it's a religious hospital. Yeah, but some of those religious hospitals are lost in their religion. And what they need is someone to share the simple gospel of Jesus Christ with them. I must hasten, but if I'm going to balance my books, I first need to start, first of all, number one, with reflection or reflecting on what came, what I've just done, what's in the past, what happened last year. And Paul's going to do that. Look at the scripture with me. He says this in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. You know, before you can reconcile the books, you have to reflect on what the book said. And you got to say, okay, I'm going to reconcile everything and then I'm going to take it back to zero because zero is last year and I'm going to move it into the new year. Whatever's left or what I gained or what I lost, if it was lost, I moved the loss on. I moved the gain on. It doesn't stay in last year. It comes into the new year with me, but I reconcile last year and I leave it there. It gets reconciled. What does it happen? It gets put in a box in case the IRS ever comes and looks for me. I can say, here it is. This is everything I gave you. But I still box it up and I leave it back there and I don't open that because that's been reflected on and I'm beginning to reconcile it, right? And I'm done. Now for us, you say, well, how do I do that in the Christian life? He says here in verse number 7, but what things were gained to me, those I count for loss for Christ. So for me, I think about, and he's going to go on to kind of help us see this, but when I begin to reconcile, I have to begin, when I reflect, I look back and I go, whatever I've gained, I'm going to count it as loss. I'm not going to carry it into the new year with me. I'm not going to say, this year, I don't have to do what I did last year for the Lord because look at all I've gained for him. I got to reconcile the books. Everybody that got saved last year got saved last year. It's on my record. It's on the well done, but it's in last year's books. If I played basketball and I scored 30 points at every game last year, that's last year. I got to put up points this year. If I'm working, they're not going to write me checks this year for work I did last year. Now, sometimes that's true because they didn't pay me last year, right? But I mean, I'm just telling you, you know, a lot of times when we're focusing on it, we reconcile the books. And even, again, when we're talking sports, we're talking work, we're talking anything, this has got to be gained last year, but I count it lost for Christ. It means like, in other words, this morning, we can't walk in the door and go, you know what? I'm a pretty good Christian because I served God last year. I'm a pretty good Christian because I did this, this, and this last year. Well, that was last year. You know, if you're not careful, you'll turn into I used to do Christian because I used to do it last year. I used to do this and I used to do that. Well, what do you plan to do this year? Do you know, sometimes in my reflection, I realize I can't do that no more. This morning, my son and I should have planned two more men, but we were getting ready for what we're doing in the gym. We're going to have like a time with the young people over in the gym, and I was moving bleachers. Now, I am still able to move bleachers by myself on one end of bleachers. And he had all he could do to get his in. All right? And he is 21. I am not. And I reflected on that and said, next time, it would be better if we had four men instead of the two of us that moved them today. Why? Because I'm not getting any younger. And I did it, but I'm going to know I did it all the way into next year. I'm going to have some carryover. And we think about that, right? But we have to learn. And again, for my dad, your dad, your family, us, every one of us, we have to realize I may not be able to do what I did last year for Jesus Christ. But when I'm reflecting, here are the things I can't do anymore, but here's what I can do. Here are the things I realize I stretched myself and this hurt me, but I just count it as loss. But this year, I can do these things. And sometimes for me, when I reconcile, there's some times I see this time frame and I should have been a witness then. Things I could have done that I didn't invest in, or the things I should have done and I wanted to do. You know how that is. This is the time of weight loss season. I don't know what you decided you were going to do last year, but I decided December, my son and I, we're going to go to the gym. It got into January. Dad, when are we going to the gym? When are we going to join the gym? I said, after January, because I'm busy this month. February, we're not as busy. February came. When are we going to join the gym? March. March. I said, just forget that. Don't ask me that no more. I'm not going to the gym. And everybody, again, we spend billions of dollars as Americans on weight loss during the new year, the beginning of it. What is that? That's the biggest resolution people make. I'm going to lose weight. Or I'm going to do, again, we can talk about all the things that we want to do in the brand new year, but focusing on when I reflect, what do? We reflect and we realize we make a resolution for the future. We are reconciling the books and we see what's lost. Look what Paul said when he was reconciling the books. He says in verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." He said, there were things I gained, there were things I lost, but I count all the gains and losses as dung for Jesus Christ. And dung is something, it's not that it's worthless, it's positive. Do you know when you go spread that on the field, it's used, it's everything I used up from last year. And when I spread it on the year, it fertilizes next year's crop. It's everything that was used up and everything that was spent and everything I took and I spread it on the field. And it's not useless, but it's not any good if I leave it in the barn. If I leave it in a pile. I count it for loss and I count it as dung, but it has to go back in. It's got to go out here. And so Paul puts it in perspective for us, just like if we were in a farming sense, just like if we were in any other sense, things that are used up are not worthless, but it's got to be invested in the new year. It's got to be counted as loss. I can't count it as corn in the barn. It's invested in next year's crop. It's invested in the things that I'm going to go forward in the Lord. And so he begins all these things, and he says here that I count all things, and I do count them but dung. Look, that I might win Christ. In verse 9, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He goes on and says, if I'm going to count one thing, when I count all things as loss, when I reconcile all things out of my life, all the things, the gifts I've been given, the things I gained, the things I lost, when I take everything and reconcile last year, I come to the place where I realize in the new year I find myself in Christ. When I strip myself to the basest person that I am, I'm saved, not because of my righteousness, but because of his righteousness. When I reconcile my own books, it brings me to a place where I remember that I've been reconciled with Jesus Christ, that I could never have been reconciled to God if it wasn't for Jesus leaving heaven. It was something that I couldn't balance on my own. It was what he could do. It's only what he could do. And I'm reconciled unto him. And I find myself in him. And I don't know about you, but that I find myself in a good place when I realize that there's no good in me except for when I find Jesus there. And that I have hope and I have an excitement inside of me to realize that I have another year to spend in him. Listen, I don't know about you, but the whole purpose of heaven and looking forward to heaven is being with him. But here I'm in him. One day I'll be with him face to face, looking at him, and I'm looking forward to it, but here I'm found in him. The Father looks from heaven and he looks down and he sees his son. He sees his son and what his son has purchased, and this year I get to spend in him, for him, by him. We could go through the scripture here, but he says, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. It means I can't get this through works. I can't get it from gain or loss. I can only get it by accepting Christ as my Savior. He goes on and says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. How am I going to do that?
I can only attain to the resurrection of the dead through the one that was resurrected, through the one that raised himself up. I can't raise myself up, but the one who raised himself up can raise me up. Then he goes on and he says, and this is my life verse. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You say, what do you mean? There's a resetting. You know, if I'm gonna look back and reflect on last year, and then I reconcile myself in my books, then I have to reset myself. You know, when I got saved, I got reset. My life and my focus and everything that I was and the direction I was headed in my life was headed in a direction that was not always pleasing, and I was being apprehended. I run down by Jesus Christ. I didn't pursue the things of God or look for what he was doing. He pursued me until he found me and I got saved. And since that day that he got in me, I've wanted to pursue him. He apprehended me, and ever since then, I've been trying to learn. And Paul talks about for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. My whole life has been spent since that day trying to apprehend who he is, why he loves me, how he loves me, where I'll spend eternity with him, and how I will. And so this whole year, listen, no matter what we do, listen, do you know most people, yesterday, I was stopped. I preached this to our college guys. I was like, listen, I may not be much of a preacher, but I sure want to look like one so that somebody may mistake me for a preacher out on the street with a shirt and tie and a jacket. So I'm out on a Saturday, heading out, doing some things with family, and somebody, again, I didn't have a button on yet because it wasn't time yet. You know, the button is something to show, it identifies that you're with this church, and it gives people, they go, what's that button? And it gives you an opportunity to witness. We've talked about that over and over again. Do you know, I never thought about all the time that a suit and tie would ever give me an opportunity to witness. Somebody's like, hey, you heading to a wedding or a funeral? I said, neither one, but let me talk to you about why I am dressed this way. And you say, what? Listen, you know, sometimes the way we dress, the way we act, the way we talk, where we go and where we won't go, reflect on who is in us. And we have a brand new year to reset ourselves and pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. And when our friends and our neighbors and people around us go, there's something different about you. There's something different that's going on. What is it about? Well, let me tell you about him. You say, well, preacher, what are you saying? I'm just saying when you reset yourself, we change some of our old habits for new habits in Jesus Christ. And the reflection that people get in the new year is not about me. It's not of me. The reflection they get is Jesus Christ. They get who I'm serving. They get who I'm doing those things for. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I reflect on last year, there were some things in the mirror that didn't look like Jesus. And those are the things I want to get rid of so that when other people see the reflection of my life and my work and the things that are going on in this life, they don't see me. They see him. Let me just ask you, and again, it's not a message. We're going to have an aisle walking invitation today, but just this, I want to encourage you when you balance your books and you close out this year, again, who do you want to look like next year? What do you want to see in the mirror? You want to see you, your gains, your losses? You will be found in him, in his righteousness, in his goodness, his grace. Let's close in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I thank you for the great opportunity, Lord, as we close out a year. Lord, look in your word and to realize that you reconciled the books for us. Lord, something I could never reconcile was my sin, but you reconciled my sin for me. You brought me to a place where I could accept you and be saved. Lord, and I thank you for that. Now help me to be able to apprehend you, to chase after you, Lord, to pursue you and to try to apprehend what it is to be found in you. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. All right, we got just a few minutes, about 5 minutes. That preacher went long. I told you finally, brethren, at the beginning of